Hey, Chaver, before we get back into the Mesil Sharim and continue on our journey to understand the purpose of life, I just want to share a thought as we prepare for the month of Av and the 9 days. This is our last time learning together before tomorrow night when we take in Rosh Chodesh Av. So the Gemara in Taina says, Mishenichnas Av mematim b'simcha. Then when we enter into the month of Av, we have to diminish our simcha. We have to lessen our simcha, and that's why we have many new halachos for the 9 days, many hanhagos, not eating meat, not drinking wine, not doing laundry, wearing freshly laundered clothing. As we're supposed to diminish our simcha and understand that we're preparing, and it's a time of tzaras and leading up to the Tisha B'Av, a very difficult day, which Be'ez Hashem this year will be a Mayed. Hopefully this year will be a Yontiv that we will celebrate. But there's a beautiful idea, a beautiful teaching by the Kotzker Rebbe I want to share with you. Maybe you've heard before, but it's worth repeating and chazering. The Gemara in Titus actually contrasts the month of Adar and the month of Av over there. As you all know, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha. We sing that throughout the month of Adar in a very joyous fashion, up to Purim for sure. When you enter into the month of Adar, we have to increase our simcha. The Gemara says, "Kishem shemishnach Adar marbim b'simcha, kach mishnachos av mamatim b'simcha." Just like in the month of Adar, we increase our simcha, so too in the month of Av, we diminish our simcha. As Adar is the simcha of Purim, and Av is the tzaras and the avelus of Tisha B'Av. So the Kotzker Rebbe says we could learn from this Gemara a very beautiful lesson. And that is, we see from here that a Jew, a Yid, every one of us, has to always be b'simcha. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us always to be b'simcha. Why? There are times in our life, in an Adar, in a month of Adar, in a time of Purim, but that could be at a Chasana, and it could be at various times throughout the year, when we increase our simcha. But the Kotzker Rebbe says you can only increase if you already had. It means we had simcha going into Adar, we increase our simcha. It doesn't say start being b'simcha, have haschala simcha, begin having simcha, build a new simcha. It's barbim, you increase. You could only increase if you already had. So you already were b'simcha, and now I'm increasing my simcha. And in the month of Av, the saddest of months of the year, the most tragic of times, what does Chazal teach us? Mamat b'simcha. We don't say we get rid of completely. We don't say obliterate, have no simcha. But mamatim, diminish our simcha. Even in the month of Av, that means we diminish, but you still have some left. Meaning there are times in our life, the Kotzker Rebbe explains, there are times in our life when it calls for an increasing of simcha. And there are times for in our life when we should be diminishing our simcha. The common denominator is a Yid should always be with simcha. Emir Hashem. The MS is, that's the purpose of all that we're doing. All that we're learning about and trying to understand our purpose in this world. That we've started on this journey 2 weeks ago, we're going to continue tonight, is all, I believe, to build a sense of simcha. Is all to come to a place of simcha. Because when is one most besimcha? When you feel that you're living a purposeful life, a meaningful life. When you understand what we're here for, and every single moment you could be living through that understanding in a very beautiful way. Because if our simcha is dependent on outside factors of having a good day, based on, you know, how somebody treats me today, or how well I did on the stock market today, or having a good date, or whatever it might be. If that's where simcha, then it's tali b'davar, it's dependent. And if it's dependent, then it's not going to be consistent, it's not going to be constant, it's not going to be with a tmedius. But if my simcha is based on an understanding of my purpose of life, and fulfilling that purpose of life, so I could be b'simcha tamid b'simcha, which is what the Kotzker Rebbe says every Jew should be, if this Hashem b'simcha. And I believe that our learning together, hopefully, will build that foundation. So last week, we came to an understanding, a very beautiful understanding. We're not going to chazer all of it right now, it will take too long. But that ultimately, the purpose of life is to be close to Hashem. As we explained, based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of us, the purpose of life is to have tanuk, to have joy, to have pleasure in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that ultimate place we ended off with, or that ultimate place, is in the next world, in Olam Haba. That's when we're closest to Hashem, and the closer we are to Hashem, the more we could enjoy all that he is giving over, as we explained last week. And that's where we ended, that ha'olam hazeh dom lepruzder b'fnei olam haba. This world is only a corridor. This world is only a hallway to the next world. And let's not get caught up in the hallway. Let's not get cut off. You know, imagine, l'mashal, you're invited to the most elegant, most beautiful chasana that's ever going to be. Imagine a chasana, mamish, millions of dollars. And if you're going to have a million dollar chasana, multi-million dollar chasana, every detail is going to be incredible, right? So they take out the most expensive, most elaborate hall there is, the Chvesnish, the Waldorf Astoria. And you walk into the entranceway, and the moment you walk in, there's going to be a violinist and a whole entire orchestra, and there's going to be delicious delicacies lining the walls of the hallway that you walk into. And you're so excited. You've never seen anything like this in your life. And you get caught up into those, the pleasures, the tanug that you're experiencing. And you're stuck there for a half hour, for an hour. And imagine you're stuck there, your mamish stay there all night. You never make it into the grand ballroom. So seemingly afterwards, you're going to be pretty miserable, right? Because you probably missed out on much bigger pleasures, a much nicer, elaborate demeanor and delicacies, but you're stuck in the lower level pleasures of the hallway. Surely there are pleasures in this world. There are physical pleasures. There are tanugim that you can enjoy in all different physical ways. But ain't no doma to that relationship with the Rabbono Shel Olam, which is going to be ba'olam haba. But our question we have to deal with now. Again, we understand based on everything we explained last week that ultimately the purpose of life is to be close to Hashem. But how do we get close to Hashem? How do we really build a relationship with Hashem? We could understand how to build a relationship with each other, with another individual, with a friend, with a family member. The Rabbeinu Shalom, the Eibishter, we believe in Him. We have faith. We believe that He created us and created the world. We believe in Tzchar V'Onesh. We believe in... But L'maisa, to build a kesher with the Rabbeinu Shalom, I don't see Him. I daven, and I hope He's listening. I don't really hear anything back. Sometimes I open up my eyes and I see Him in my life in some amazing occurrence, but it's hard to have that relationship the way we have relationships with each other. So how can we achieve that closeness with Hashem? So the Mesil Sharm continues. This is where we left off last week. On your sheet, it's by the Dalet. The mediums that help an individual reach this purpose of being close to Hashem. They are the mitzvos that Hashem commanded us to do. Let's read one more line. And the place to perform those mitzvos are in this world. So the Ramchal tells us now, behaviorally, in a practical fashion, we already dealt that our purpose is to get close to Hashem. But what does that mean to me? What am I supposed to be doing? Where are the ma'asim? Where are the actions? So he tells us the actions are the mitzvahs. My purpose are to follow the mitzvahs then, because that will help me get close to Hashem. And that will help me then reap all the benefits that Hashem is giving me, which really that ultimate purpose is to just enjoy all the ashpa, because that's why He created us to give to us, right? That's what we explained last week. But we have to stop here for a moment and understand. How do the mitzvahs help us build a relationship with Hashem? How does the Rabbeinu Shalom tells each and every one of you that you should dress in a tznius fashion. And you, Baruch Hashem, listen to the Rabbeinu Shalom and dress in a tznius fashion. How does that help me build a closer relationship with Hashem? How does it help me get close to Hashem? How does it help me then be so close that I could appreciate all the shefa that Hashem is giving over? Yeah, what do you want to say?
I feel like mitzvot are a way to emulate Hashem. So I feel like the more, like, even with, like, as like a mashal, like an older sister and a younger sister, like the more the younger sister like copies or whatever, the more she...
Incredible. Incredible. I think you're saying MS. And it's definitely one of the ways. Right? I mean, Chazal teach us Mahu Rachum Afatar Rachum. Just like Hashem is merciful, we should be merciful. That we're supposed to try to emulate Hashem. We're supposed to try to emulate Hashem. And why is that? Why is it so important to emulate Hashem? Why is it so important to emulate Hashem? Because if we're trying to get close to Hashem, how could you be close to someone? You know, there's sometimes in the world they say opposites attract. That might be true on some levels, but ultimately, you're not going to build a close, deep relationship with someone that's complete opposite of you. Who are you going to create and build a deep, close kesher? Someone who has similar goals and similar aspirations, and you have similarities that you could connect to and talk through and help work through, right? B'shatoy mislachas, when you're zoichah to find your husband, he's going to be someone that you're very much on the same page in a lot of areas of life. You don't have to be mirror images of each other. You're there to complement each other, to complete each other. But at the same time, you don't need your mirror image. You already have yourself, right? But you're going to have similar goals and similar aspirations and a similar outlook of life that you could discuss and you could build upon. So if I want to build a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have to have similarities to him. I have to be close to him. I'm Buster Vidum. I'm this physical human being that's the farthest thing from God. I'm nothing should be nothing. I'm Ofer Ve'efer. How could I therefore build a relationship with him? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos, and through those mitzvos, we in a certain sense have the ability to emulate God and be more God-like. They perfect us. They purify us in ways that help us be more angelic, more spiritual, and ultimately more like God, to enable us to be closer to God. And the closer we are to God, the closer, more we're going to gain from all that He's giving over. Beautiful. Exactly. So we have to be more God-like in this world. Some of those mitzvahs we could understand. When you have a mitzvah, for example, when it comes to most mitzvahs ben al machadero, sometimes it's very easy to understand why a mitzvah such as that is going to perfect me and make me more God-like. Like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a mitzvah, l'chanasas orchim, that we should try to have guests in our home and to be kind to them and help them. So it helps, as the Sefer Chinuch explains, achri pulosov bo machshavosov, that our actions have an effect on who we are, on our thoughts and our mind. I'll be more merciful, I'll be more caring, more empathetic, and therefore more God-like. Sometimes it's clear in mitzvahs such as the Shabbos Kodesh that helps me refrain from the mundane and the physical, that's purifying myself to be more spiritual, again, and more God-like. Sometimes it's unclear. Sometimes I have a mitzvah such as Shatnez, where if I go and I buy the nice dress that's made out of wool, or a nice jacket, for sure, that's made out of wool, I'm going to have to bring it to be checked for shatnez to ensure that there's, even on the label, it might say there's no linen, but I have to make sure there's no linen, because I'll pee the secular world, if there's a minute amount that's sewed in underneath, in the lining, it doesn't have to be set on the label, and I'm going to have to take it to be shatnez checked, because if there's a drop of linen sewed in, I can't wear that jacket, right? I can't wear the jacket. So that I don't understand how that helps me get close to Hashem. It's a chayk, it's a mitzvah b'litam, but that doesn't mean it doesn't. It just means I don't understand how it does. Chukavim mishpatav l'Yisrael. The chukim and the mishpatim are to Yisrael. There are those explaining the chukavim mishpatav. The chukim have mishpatim in them as well. We just don't understand it. I mean, there's reason in it that we just don't understand. It's important, by the way. It's a lesson within itself. To understand that we don't understand. And that's not destructive to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much greater than us. Of course we don't understand everything. If we understood everything, I'd be God already. Of course there are things I can't understand. So all the mitzvahs help emulate Hashem, perfect us, and therefore allow us to have a closer relationship with Hashem. Beautiful, beautiful suggestion. Totally agree. Anyone have any other ideas of how the mitzvahs help us build a close relationship with Hashem? Right, any other suggestions? So I want to explain a couple other ways. I think forgetting about even what they do for us and how they perfect us and how we therefore emulate Hashem, just by listening to Hashem, Kasher Tzivos Hashem, just saying, I'm going to do what God commands me, helps develop a deep relationship with Hashem. Helps me be closer to Him, fulfill my purpose in this world. You know, when someone asks you to do something, and you do it for them, it creates a bond, it creates a relationship. When your parents at home ask you to do something, even you don't want to and you'd rather be doing something else, you have other things you'd want to be doing with your friends or whatever it might be, and you still perform that ma'isa, that develops a deeper relationship with your parent. It shows, when you do something for someone that they ask you to do, it shows I care about you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy with me. Just doing something that someone asks you to do creates a relationship, creates a bond. Someone asks you a favor, you do that favor of them, you have a closer relationship with that person than another person that you haven't done that for. There's something to that. There's a kesher formed from that. So too, when the Ribbono Shel Olam asks me to do something, and I do it without belief, Tom, without understanding, without what it does for me, that itself creates a deep bond. And by the way, that's the main kavanah in every mitzvah. The main kavanah in every mitzvah. If you look in the Mishnah Brura and Hilchos Kriyas Shema, when he discusses mitzvah srichos kavanah, and that's what we paskin. When you do a mitzvah, it needs kavanah. What does it mean, mitzvah srichos kavanah? It doesn't mean I have to understand all of the depth within the mitzvah. That I have to understand all the reasoning and the rhyme and the reason and what it's going to do for me. Many mitzvahs we don't. But it means I'm doing the mitzvah because God commanded me to do the mitzvah. That's the kavanah I need. I can't have any ulterior motives. I can't have any side reasons why I'm doing this mitzvah. It has to be, I'm doing it because God commanded me to do it. Halavai, if I understand more depth in it and other things in it, that's great, it's beautiful. But I have to be performing the mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do the mitzvah. That's how we define the Iker Yisod of mitzvah Srichas Kavanah. And that itself helps develop a relationship with Hashem. That itself. One other suggestion. You know, in the Shulchan Aruch, there are mitzvahs, which some explain more of an Eitzah Tova than an actual mitzvah. Meaning, if you don't do it, it's not that you're doing anything wrong, but it's a nice thing to do. And at some level of a mitzvah, you know, such as the following mitzvah in Shulchan Aruch, of the particular ways we're supposed to get up and get dressed in the morning. Right? You all, I'm sure, have learned it's better we're supposed to put on our right shoe first and then our left shoe. And if we're tying our shoes, then tie our left shoe, then tie our right shoe. And sometimes you think about these type of halachas and you think, does God really care? Does the Ribbono Shel Olam really care how I get dressed in the morning? Does it matter? Does the Ribbono Shel Olam need me to put on my right shoe first? And if I put on my left shoe first, is the biggest deal? Really? That's really important to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's really important today, Bishter. So I'll tell you, I always felt as follows. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't matter to the Ribbono Shel Olam whether I have my right shoe on first, my left shoe on first. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us mitzvahs in every area of our life to define us and to filter our life through Kedusha, through holiness, but specifically perhaps so that I could have the Ribbono Shel Olam on my mind every single moment. The Rama in the beginning of all of Shulchan Aruch says, his opening words are Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Hashem should be opposite me always. God should be on my mind. There should be a God consciousness on every individual. I'm going to live a different life in such a way. That's what the Rama explains. Open up a Shulchan Aruch. That I need to have the Ribbono Shel Olam on my mind always. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam on my mind, if I think I'm standing in front of God always, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching me always, and listening to me always, and listening to even what I'm thinking always, I'm going to think differently, I'm going to act differently, I'm going to speak differently. My whole mahus, my whole essence is going to be different. So what did the Ribbono Shel Olam make sure? Ribbono Shel Olam made sure that we have 613 mitzvahs, and hanhagos, and mitzvot derabanan, and all through all that, you know what that ensures? That every moment of every day, I'm going to be a God-conscious individual. The Rabbanu Shalom is going to be in my mind. So it might not even, here's a different idea, right? It's not even that I'm listening to Hashem, and it's not even that Echves Nisht, all that it does for me and perfects me and purifies me, but I'm thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom throughout my day now through the mitzvot. And that helps me have a connection with Hashem. That helps me have Shavisi Hashem Le'Yusamid. Hashem is opposite me always. That I'm one with Hashem. So through all these ways, ultimately performing the mitzvot, doing the mitzvot of Hashem, help us get close to Hashem. Help us build a relationship with Hashem. Help us therefore fulfill our purpose, which is being close to Hashem. And finally, in what I think is the most pashup shot in the words of the Mishnah Sharm, being that he's based on what we learned last week, that the ultimate purpose of life is in the next world when we're closest to Hashem. And that's Olam Hazeh Olam Prozdor Bifnei Olam Haba. This world is a corridor before the next world. And then he continues, as we started learning this week, the Emtzam are the mitzvos. Emakom Hazeh, the mitzvos are Rak Olam Hazeh. The place for the mitzvos is this world. On the most pashut level, ultimately the mitzvos are there to help us gain the greatest of places in the next world when we will feel close to Hashem in that makom where we are closer to Hashem. That's the famous story of the Heilig Vilna Gaon. The Gaon, the Gra, I'm sure you've heard this before, they say that when he was on his deathbed, he was mamish moments before death, he was crying tears streaming down his cheeks, clutching his tzitzis, holding his tzitzis in his hands. And the Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, I don't understand, why are you so sad? What are you nervous about? You've taught us your whole life about Olam Haba, and the Schar of Olam Haba, and Gan Eden. You're obviously going to be there in the greatest of palaces with Moshe, with Aaron, with Avraham, Yaakov. The Vilna Gaon said, I'm not afraid of the next world, I'm not afraid of that. It's very beautiful. But there are no more mitzvahs in the next world. There are no more mitzvahs in the next world, meaning I can't gain any more of a higher place in the next world. I can't gain any more of a closeness to Hashem once I leave this world. Whatever I've achieved, I've achieved. Humakum asiyas ha-mitzvos, which is our mechanism, which is our medium to gain that relationship with Hashem in the next world, is only in this world. So that definitely is what the Ramchal means over here. But don't be discouraged. All the reasons we started out with, all the beautiful reasons and mitzvos give us this relationship in this world as well. Yes, it could be Olam Hazeh Olam Prozdor Bifnei Olam Haba, and the ultimate relationship is in the next world. But it doesn't mean we can't feel it now. It doesn't mean we can't feel it now. If we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we keep mitzvos in the proper way, we can feel the Ribbono Shel Olam in the relationship even now as well. That's in the words of Tehillim, Chav Zayin, that we could live a Chaye Olam Haba. David Melech says, a Chaye Olam Haba. We could already in this world live a life of Olam Haba. Shifti Beveis Hashem, that we could dwell in the home, in the house of Hashem, Kol Yimei Chayai, all the days of my life right now. So even though the Ramchal seems in Pashup Pshat to be talking about developing that relationship in the next world through the mitzvahs in this world, there's no question that the mitzvahs already bring that relationship in all the ways we've explained. And then we can ultimately fulfill that purpose of being close to Hashem. Let's continue inside. We're in the middle of Dalet on your sheet. Al Kain, therefore, Husam Ha'adam Bazeh Olam B'tchila, Kadosh Baruch Hu placed us in this world first. Kidei sha'al yidei ha'emtzoim ha'ela ha'mizamnim lokan. Therefore, through the mediums, through the mechanisms of the mitzvos that are prepared for us here, yuchol la'giya al-makom asher huchan lo. We're able to reach that place which is prepared for him, shu olam haba, which is the next world, which is the ultimate goal, because that's where we could be closest to Hashem and fill that purpose of being close to Hashem and gain all the shef and all the brach and all that Hashem is giving us. Lirvos sham, to be satiated there, batov asher kana lo al yidei emtzam ha'ela, by all the good that you've acquired through these means. And that's going to be the ultimate pleasure. Again, we can have it now already. Chaye Olam Haba, as we explained. And we feel it when we're close to Hashem now already. But the ultimate in the next world, the Mishnah in Avos, says Yofa Sho Achas Mikoyas Ruach Ba'olam Haba Mikol Chaye Olam Hazeh. Yofa Sho Achas Mikoyas Ruach Ba'olam Haba. One moment of Koras Ruach means like the smell of Olam Haba. It's like, you know, when you're by a very expensive restaurant and you know it's delicious, but it's like crazy expensive and you're not in the mood to pay $80 for a steak. So you walk by outside and you just get a sniff, you get a smell, and it smells incredible. Right? Sometimes it's easier in a dairy restaurant when they have the garlic, you know that smell, the garlic? There used to be, it closed down, how many of you from the Five Towns? Some of you from the Five Towns, right? So we used to have, now where Doma is, so we're Doma and Cork and Slice over there. They used to have the place Mother Kelly's. Yeah. And that it was a non-kosher dairy restaurant. None of us ever walked in, obviously. But it smelled up like the whole Cedarhurst with the smell of, it smelled delicious. You could be in Cedarhurst Park and Imamish, you smelled it. It's like it smelled incredible. Kairas Ruach is that smell, meaning one moment just walking by Olam Haba, not even inside yet, is greater than all the pleasures of this world. If you open up, I don't have it in front of me, maybe another time we'll go through, we should read through. If you read through in the beginning of Michtam Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, I'm sure some of you have read, or in the English version, Strive for Truth, I'm sure it's in there as well. He goes through, he darshans that Mishnah and explains that what is Kol Chayei Olam Hazeh, all of the pleasures of this world, all the pleasures of the world, mean as follows. This is how he explains it. He says, all the pleasures of not just one individual's lifetime of pleasures put into one moment, but all the pleasures of not just your whole generation of people's of pleasures during their lifetime, but literally he goes through a cheshbon. It's incredible how he says it, but imagine all the pleasure that's ever been had in this world by any person that ever graced the world, that's Kol Chayei Olam Hazeh, was all put into one moment. Right? We'd be like, mamish bursting with pleasure. It'd be crazy. That's what the Mishnah says. One moment of Koras Ruach, of just walking by and smelling Olam Haba, is greater than all of that pleasure. We don't even understand what that means. But again, we can have it on some level in this world as well, through keeping mitzvahs and Torah and being close to Hashem in that way. And vada, through davening, which helps us develop our relationship with Hashem. Definitely through davening, which is our conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu a few times a day. And definitely through learning Torah, as we have this list to be doing. Learning Torah is learning the personality of Hashem, the character traits of Hashem. That surely helps us develop a deep relationship with Hashem. Helps us get to know Hashem. Which is ultimately our purpose, to get close to Hashem, then to reap all the benefits, which is the ultimate purpose, because that's why Hashem created us, to give us that. And let's finish off this first, in mine, it's one big paragraph by you at the end of Dalet. And this is what we've learned in Chazal, in the Gemara in Erevin. Hayom la'asosam umachar l'kabal scharam. Hayom, today, which is this world, la'asosam, is a world of doing, of following mitzvahs and Torah and the Ribbono Shalom, and then umachar, and tomorrow, eventually, l'kabal scharam. Eventually, we'll reap the benefits and reap the reward. And we have to wait for that, and we have to be willing to. Again, that's the ultimate reward. As we explained here tonight, we can have part of that and feel some of that v'chayei Olam Haba already now through performance of mitzvahs. But we have to be willing to understand how great that pleasure it is, and how that's our ultimate purpose of life and will bring us the greatest simcha. And it's worth sacrificing for that. It's worth getting through that hallway at the wedding quickly so we can get to the main ballroom and experience that greatest of pleasure. I'll give you another mashal, because sometimes it's hard. Listen, the pleasures of this world, the physical pleasures of this world, some of those might be mutter, some of those are connected to Torah. Lamaisa, they feel really good. It's not as acquired of a taste as is ruchnius. But I'll give you a mashal that we have to remember always. Imagine you applied for a job, a very good job in a top firm somewhere, and you got the job. You got the job, it's very high paying. And the boss sat you down when you're signing your contract, says you have two options as far as us paying you. You could take a daily salary or a monthly salary. Daily or monthly. So first you think, of course I'll take daily, right? What, do I want to wait till the end of the month till I get my paycheck? And then he says, but there's a catch. If you take a daily salary, your daily salary is $1,000 a day. So you're very excited. This is your first job, $1,000 a day. It's pretty solid money, right? He cheshben right away. Okay, you're working chesnish to, you know, a month. Let's say it's 30 days. Let's say including pays, they pay for Shabbos even though you don't work, whatever it might be, Sunday. Let's say $30,000 a day. That's great. Awesome. You think you're able to take it? He says, but if you take only the monthly and you wait, your paycheck at the end of the month will be $100,000. So every chacham, any individual has any common sense is for sure going to sign up for the $100,000. You'll make do. You'll figure it out to get by the month until you get your paycheck, because you're going to make over triple the amount if you wait for the end of the month. Okay, so you don't have the daily pleasures. You don't have the daily $1,000. You'll do without, because you're going to have a much bigger payday at the end. So too, we have to have mechazik ourselves. That sometimes there are pleasures that we see in this world. But realize if we partake in those pleasures, we're signing up for those pleasures, we're doing away with the ultimate pleasures. We're not fulfilling our purpose in this world, and we're not going to experience on the same level the ultimate pleasures that are so much grander and so much bigger. So Mirat Hashem, now we finally have the start of a foundation, of an understanding of what our purpose in this world is, to get close to Hashem. And in a practical way to build that relationship through the performance of mitzvahs, to ultimately be b'simcha every moment and gain all the pleasures Hashem is wanting to give us. As we journey towards Olam Haba, and hopefully Bekarov Mamish will be Olam Haba, not in the world above, but in this world itself, with the coming of Mashiach, b'mher v'yameinu. We will continue Mirat Hashem next week.